Turn with me this morning to the 119th Psalm. And beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in his ways. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for the privilege that we have to open your holy word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scripture to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive. I thank you for it. Amen. You know, if there's one quality of life that most people want, is that they want to be happy. Whatever it takes sometimes, just to be happy. That happiness can manifest itself in different ways. Some people are happy to open the refrigerator door and find something in there. It creates happiness. You open the fridge and you know, there's a ham or some bacon. It's all good. Or you open the freezer door and there's a couple of gallons of ice cream. You can't go, that can make you very happy. You can sing and dance even, you know. Some people are happy by the social activities that they engage in or the sports activities that they engage in. Charles Schulz, the author, writer, illustrator of the Peanuts comic strips, had a whole list of things that he could attribute happiness to, but one especially touching is that he said, happiness is a warm puppy. You know, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus began his great sermon with a series of traits that were attributed to a happy person. He said a happy person was poor in spirit, and a happy person is meek, and a happy person is pure in heart, and a happy person hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Now, it wasn't just those things that made him happy. It was the way that God ministered to those people in those different situations. And the fact of the matter is, as people, we may be able to find any number of temporal things to give us a moment's pleasure. But genuine happiness can be found in God alone. The psalmist wrote, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Happy are the blameless who walk in the law of the Lord. As humans with a sin nature, we are naturally drawn to what the scriptures describe as the broad path. We don't like to be restricted. We don't want to see hedges put about us. We want to be free to do anything and everything that we desire. Those things that we convince ourselves will make us happy. We don't want to have anything stop us from our pursuit of happiness. But obviously the psalmist isn't pointing us in that direction. The psalmist would have us go to a more narrow path. If we would be happy, if we would be blessed, we must be become increasingly more submissive to the law of God. And if we are to grow further in alignment with God's word, if we are to actually be what God's word calls us to be, then we have to become better acquainted with that word. We have to know what God has to say to us. How can we do what he wants us to do if we don't know what he says? Blessed are the undefiled. We may sit sometimes and do a little introspection. And if we take a hard look at ourselves, we're going to have to admit that we are not undefiled. We are wretched and poor and blind and naked. But because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we want to be undefiled. We are not content to be wretched. We want to do something better. We want to be something better. We are not content with our shortcomings. And neither should we be people who just shrug them off. Say, they're just minor little peccadilloes. They're not that important. God winks at those things. But we know better. Indeed, as Christians, with the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us, we want to be like him. He is holy, and we should desire to be holy as well. And that holiness should be an attribute that is evidenced in every part of our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, "True religion is always practical, for it does not permit us to delight ourselves in a perfect rule without exciting in us a longing to be conformed to it in our daily lives." God hasn't blessed us with his word just so that we can have something to sit on a shelf and collect dust. God hasn't given us the Holy Scriptures so that we can sit back and say, it's boring to me. On the contrary, it should excite us. It should motivate us to consume it, to cause us to want to be as much as we can like God. Our desire is to walk, is to live in accordance with this word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. We can see, when we sit back sometimes, we can see that we have a goal. We have a goal to attain holy living, even if that goal is somewhat dim in the way we look. We say, I know it's out there. I see the target. Sometimes that target is clearer to me. Sometimes it's faded out. But it's always there before me. And I want to attain that. And we plod on. We strive. We move down the road that God has placed us on. And we hope to get there. But the reality hits us that we know that it's not going to be something that we attain overnight. The Christian life is a labor. It's an effort to get to where we want to get. Progress is not always as fast as we want it to be. But we have a truth. We have a promise that we can latch on to. And that truth is that as children of God, we will attain the goal. We will get there. We're told in Hebrews 13 that Jesus suffered and bled to sanctify his people. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ is drawing us daily to himself. He is daily setting us apart, making us more pure in heart, making us more faithful to him, and strengthening us to continue the walk. Blessed are the undefiled. Happy are the undefiled. Now, in this second verse, we are given another blessing. Happiness is achieved in the keeping of his testimonies and in the steadfast seeking of our Lord. His testimonies of the truths of Scripture. We study the Scriptures. I hope we study the Scriptures. We search the Scriptures for the answers that we seek. How do we handle a situation where one is angry with another? We go to the Scriptures and God tells us how to solve these problems. Where do we go? How do I find the answer to the satisfying of my hunger? We go to the Scriptures. Where do I go when I am tormented by fear? When uncertainty is constantly harassing me? We go to the Scriptures and we find the promises of God to us. And we cling to those. The Scriptures are like buried treasure. We have a map. X marks the spot. And we go and we dig. And when we've uncovered that chest, when we've uncovered that bounty, we hang on to it. We never let it go. Now we have an enemy. And there is no doubt that the enemy is going to try and pry that treasure from your hands. He's going to try and steal it from your mind. And he's going to try and uproot the treasure from your heart. If you think you're not going to be tried, if you think you're not going to be tested, if you think that your confession of faith in Christ is going to lead you down a path that's smooth as glass, you're mistaken. The evil one will try and tempt you to unbelief. You'll say, I've been taught the Scripture since I was a little kid. But now in this trying time, I'm confused. I'm not sure. We say, I don't believe. The great Prime Minister of England, Winston Churchill, one of his most famous speeches, didn't last all that long. Walked to the podium, looked at the crowd, said, never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. Then he went and sat down. You see, when we come to times in our walk where the evil one tempts us, where we have setting before us the sins of our own flesh, we never give in. God's word is true. His promises are faithful. His mercies are new every morning, and we cling to them. We never give in. We hang on to those things. We need to have a single-mindedness when it comes to knowing God. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. If you do anything with your whole heart, what else can get in? Have you ever had a project? Have you ever had something that you've done where nothing else could get in there? You were solely focused on the accomplishment of that task. So should it be with us as we seek God. That nothing should interfere. We should have tunnel vision. We seek him with our whole heart. But don't we have things that come about that demand our desires? Can we seek to commune with God with our whole heart and attend to other things? I guess it depends on what those other things are. We can love God with our whole heart and love our neighbor. How can we do that? Well, because that's being obedient to God. That's obeying his law. We can love God with our whole heart and love our neighbor. Can we seek God with our whole heart and love the world? By the world, we mean the system. The answer is no, we can't. That creates within us a divided heart, and God will always reject a divided heart. Metaphors sometimes run crazy. Because you see, God will reject a divided heart, but God welcomes a broken heart. He encourages us to come to him with broken hearts. Hearts in need of forgiveness and healing. And the scriptures tell us that if we come to him that way, he's going to hear our prayer and touch us in the way that we need. Verse 3 of this psalm may make us wonder a bit. They also do no iniquity. If we're honest with ourselves, we might look at verse 3 and say, I'm out. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also, in addition to these other things, do no iniquity. And yet we know that we struggle with sin every day. We know that there's not a day goes by where we don't sin in word, thought, or deed. You see, it's the desire of the one who seeks God is a desire not to sin. It is a desire not to do iniquity. And what the psalmist is telling us in this verse is that the person does not make sin a habit. In the doing of iniquity, three things must concur. There has to be a purpose to do it. What did the mean little kid say? If I do it, I'm going to get a whipping. I do it anyway. He had purpose to go about it. I know it's wrong, but I'm doing it anyway. I don't care. It's what I want now. The worker of iniquity purposes to do iniquity. Secondly, not only does he purpose to do iniquity, he delights in it. He gets a kick out of it. You know what? I know I'm breaking the law of God, but I don't care. I'm kind of liking it. I know that I shouldn't eat two cakes, but I want two cakes. Gluttony is a sin. I will be gluttonous today because I want to. That's working iniquity. I'm delighting in my sin. But the third thing that must concur, not only do you purpose to sin, not only do you delight in sin, but you continue in it. Those who keep his testimonies, those who seek him with the whole heart, do no iniquity because they don't desire to. Going to sin? You're immediately caught. Your conscience immediately talks to you. You immediately go to God and confess, I blew this. I made a mess this time. I ask your forgiveness. We don't continue on. We don't say, well, I blew it. I did it. Kind of like it, so I'll just keep on doing it. Understand this, if that is your position or disposition, you're not a child of God. If you find your joy in sin, you're not a child of God. These things are not characteristic of God's children. They also do no iniquity and they walk in his ways. rather than focus on how they're going to sin and get away with it, sin and enjoy it, the focus of their life is on how can I please God? What can I do to please God? They walk in His ways. We know for a fact that it's the grace of the Lord Jesus that makes it possible for us to even do that. We can pray with confidence for the strength to overcome. And we can do that with confidence because Jesus prays for us. Do you understand that? There is one mediator between God and man. That's the Lord Jesus. Jesus prays for us all the time. All the time. Let me close by flipping back to John's Gospel. 17th chapter. Jesus is praying. Verse 20. Jesus is in the garden. He's praying. He's been praying for the disciples. And now He says this, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. I do not pray for these alone. I'm praying for you. Jesus prays for you. Now, it's a wonderful thing that we pray for each other. I trust that we do. We have a prayer list that shows up in the bulletin every week. It changes very little. And sometimes, because of that fact, we just take it for granted. But we encourage you to pray for each other. If you're praying for each other, you can't hate each other. You have to love each other. Because God's not going to honor the prayer that says, just smack that turkey down. No. We pray for God's encouragement for each other, for the edification of each other, for wisdom in each other. We do those things, and that is a wonderful thing. But even at our best, our prayers for one another are not exactly what Jesus does for us. Because Jesus knows us perfectly, and He prays perfectly for us. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel kind of good. Because sometimes, like Paul said, we don't know what to pray. But the Spirit does, making noises that we can't understand. Man, this is good stuff. I hope you can latch onto it sometime. This psalm is the longest psalm. It's divided up according to the Hebrew alphabet. 22 sections, 8 verses to a section. It's God talking to us. It's encouraging us. Telling us, do you want to be happy? This is how you do it. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. I pray that that will be your testimony. Let's pray.